Hey, Fred, Keith here. Before we start the episode, I just wanted to jump in really quickly to share with you about a little book that I've just put out recently. It's called Breakup: How to Heal and Thrive After a Relationship Ends. You know, I had a marriage of about 24, 25 years end in divorce, and it crushed me. I mean, it really got me down. But after I'd licked my wounds for a while, I decided I need to put together a strategic plan to pivot from this loss into my next chapter. So I put together this little plan that I call Thrive. So if you're going through a breakup right now, or maybe you've just gone through one recently and you could use a little help, I encourage you to look for the link in the show notes and check out Breakup: How to Heal and Thrive After a Relationship Ends. All right, now on with the show. Hello there, and welcome to the Bye Guy Podcast. I'm your host, J. Keith Brown, and this podcast exists to bring help and encouragement to my fellow bisexuals, as well as all others within the LGBTQ plus community. Subjects that we'll cover in this podcast will include sexual identity trauma, shame, family dynamics, relationships, coming out issues, bisexuality, dating, mindset, faith development within the Christian faith, and a whole bunch more. Two disclaimers first, please. I am not a licensed therapist or a medical professional. If you need either of those services, please do consult a licensed professional. Also, the views expressed in this podcast are either those of myself or my guest, and they should be considered as such. All right, grab that favorite beverage of choice, have a seat here at my table, and let's chat on this episode of the Bye Guy Podcast. Well, hello, my friend, and welcome to the Bye Guy Podcast. I'm your host and teacher, J. Keith Brown, the Bye Guy, and I really do appreciate you tuning in for this particular episode of the podcast. Thank you very much for doing so. Hopefully, you are a subscriber or follower of this podcast, and you catch every episode. Thank you. If that is you, I really do appreciate it. Also, let me just ask you, have you given it an honest 5-star rating if you're a listener? That really does help, you know, me personally when I see those, but it also helps us, obviously, in the algorithm. It helps us push this podcast out to more people. And of course, the only way that we can impact more lives with the message we're trying to put out there is by getting this out to more listeners. And you are a big part of that. So thank you. If you have done that already, if you haven't, please think about doing it for, you know, to help us out here. And I would really appreciate it. Okay. The first thing that I want to do in this episode really is to sort of give you an apology. And the reason for that is because I promised, at least those who are part of my online community, my email community especially, I sent out an email to every one of you guys and told you that I was going to have two episodes in relation to the topic of public displays of affection. And I had every desire to do that and every plan to do that. And we did put out one episode last week, and hopefully you enjoyed that. If you didn't get a chance to listen, do go back and listen to that podcast. I really do appreciate my guest. She was fantastic, and I think the conversation was extremely helpful. So go back and check that out. But what happened was the recording session for the other guest did not work out. It just wasn't meant to be. So anyway, I do apologize that I wasn't able to record another guest and have another episode on that today. And truthfully, that's not an area that I have felt personally. So I didn't feel that I was probably the best person to come on and give the best perspective. Now, I have some interactions and I have some opinions and some things that I've gathered over my career, obviously. But I think sometimes it's more helpful when a person speaks from their own authentic experience. Okay. So anyway, if that is you and you would like to come on and be a guest on this podcast and talk about this topic, then by all means, reach out to me. Maybe we can make that happen. But I'm always open to guests for the podcast. I love to hear people's stories. All right. So today I want to talk about another topic that is really important to me, because a lot of the work that I have done for the last 35 years in whether it's crisis pastoral counseling or coaching or any combination thereof, one of the areas that I've always worked with is trauma-informed care. Now, whether that, again, that was pastoral counseling or whether it was coaching, I have worked with a lot of people who have dealt with a lot of different traumas. And of course, now in this work that I'm doing now, in this business that I have now, I specialize with people who are dealing with identity, shame, and trauma. So I want to say that and set this up, the podcast episode today, by saying
that there is no quick fix for trauma. Okay. So I want to be very clear about that. Trauma work sometimes is a lifetime activity. You have to keep working on yourself and working on your trauma. And it takes a long time to get all the healing that you want. And I don't know that you'll ever completely get healing. I think you get a lot better, but you know, sometimes it can still flare up. So to get true ultimate healing in our trauma, we have to, in my opinion, work a systematic game plan. And one of the reasons why people have a hard time is because they don't do that. So let me put a shameful plug in here. If you would like to have a game plan and help have someone help you put that together, then do check out my trauma-informed coaching. I'm here for you. It's an 8-week program, and I will hold your hand and we'll walk through the program together. All right. So today, though, I wanted to share something with you that I have sort of incorporated in my life to deal with any type of trigger that results in my emotional heightened state. So if something happens and there's a trigger and all of a sudden I feel myself on the you know, wound up, my heart starts beating and my breathing is sped up. And all of a sudden my thoughts are just going off like the 4th of July, right? And I'm in the response of fight or flight at that moment. It could be freeze for some people. But in my opinion, at these moments when this triggering most often occurs, I think that people most often go into either a fight or flight mentality, and their body and their mind responds, you know, to that. And I want to deal with this idea of when this happens, when you are triggered, when something happens, whether somebody says something or somebody does something or you see something on the internet or whatever the case may be, and all of a sudden you feel yourself being triggered and all that shame and trauma that you have been carrying inside of you based on your sexual identity starts to come up and you respond in this heightened emotional state. And the one thing I can tell you is that when we are in that state, we are certainly in our emotional lobes of our brain, and we are not in the best position to make decisions and to live life completely and to make the best of things in our life. So we want to do something, I think, to try to calm ourselves down and get us to a good place as quickly as possible. So I named the title of this episode, Get Chill to Deal. Get chill to deal when you're triggered by your trauma. Okay. So again, I just want to carefully, as a disclaimer, say what I'm going to share with you right now is not a quick fix for trauma. Okay. What I believe it is a quick response that we can incorporate into our healing structure for trauma. All right. So hopefully that makes sense. All right. One of the things, if you've hung out with Keith and we've gone, you know, and we've been through stuff together and you've listened to podcasts and you've hung out with me, maybe you've taken a course with me or whatever the case may be, you know that Keith is sort of the king of acrostics or acronyms, whichever word you choose to use. But I really do like them. I like them for a couple of reasons. One is they make my mindset better when I begin to deliver a teaching, or whether I'm speaking on a stage, I can remember what I'm talking about because I use these in my brain to help me formulate my systematic thought and my programs. So I often use acronyms or acrostics in my frameworks. I'm going to do that again today. And the other reason that I like to do that is because I think they can also give you a way to remember some of these things. And today it's a very short acrostic. It is the word GET, G-E-T, G-E-T, okay? And I said in the title, get chill to deal. So let's talk about this word GET. Let's use those three letters as our 3 points for trying to give a quick response, a quick way out of our initial fight or flight when we are triggered in our trauma. And again, I can't say this too many times because I know I can get pushback here. This is not a permanent healing. This is not a systematic healing process. This is just a quick fix to help us sort of off the ledge, if you will. Okay. So what are my three little tricks that I use when I am triggered? The first G, ground myself. I need to ground myself. Now, that's a fancy word that we often hear in therapy. And it basically means to just get ourselves more in focus, get ourselves more at peace or relaxed or stable. And that can look like a lot of different things for different people. And there are many ways to do that. But I do believe that in good grounding, when you are in this heightened state, good grounding is going to respond both physically and mentally. So I think that we should pursue both avenues of techniques when we talk about grounding. And I can go through, when I teach people and coach people, I go through all types of possibilities and we talk about the different ones and we put together a plan that they think will work best for them. But let me just offer a couple of them to you. Number one is, I think it's always important when we are suddenly triggered and we come to that heightened state to put our feet flat on the ground. I think that that is something we can easily do. And there is something that gives us stability in that. Don't cross your legs. Don't hold your, one higher. Don't prop your feet up. Put your feet on the ground. I know it seems a little funny, but I can tell you that it can be helpful. I have had client after client tell me that just by doing that and firmly, and not just putting them on the ground, but maybe rocking back and forth a little bit, just really almost like they're digging their feet into the floor. That is a good way to get a physical grounding initially. Then obviously, you know where I'm going to go probably in another option, and that is breathing. We know study after study after study, and even, our greatest fighting soldiers will tell you that breathing is important in their productivity, and it's important in our lives as well. So I'm not a rigid person here. I'm not a proponent for any, box breathing or time breathing or anything like that. I'm not a stickler on that because I think it's probably best if you determine what works best for you. But the general rule of thought here is that it needs to be slow in through the nose and out through the mouth. And you can do that any way you want. You can, use the box breathing if you want. You go, breathe in slowly, hold, and then out through the mouth slowly, hold, and then in. So you keep doing that a few times, and there is an automatic biophysical response that comes usually for most people when they begin to slow breathe. So that's going to help us. That's part of our getting grounded. There are other things that we can do when it comes to our physical bodies. Some people will do tapping. And if you know anything about tapping, that is where people will take their fingers. If you're looking at this on YouTube, you will see me begin to touch my face. Now, I'm going to be honest with you.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Hey, friend, Keith again. Just dropping in really quickly to remind you that I am available for individual coaching. For the last 35 plus years, I have had the joy of working with so many people over so many issues. So if you could use some coaching, check it out. Listen, I've got the time, I've got the experience, I've got the desire, and I've got the heart. All I need is you. The link's in the show notes. I hope you'll check it out today. Now, back to the episode.
I have had clients that do tapping. They choose to do that. And, I am all for it. I'm great with it. But I want to confess here that tapping has not been a part of my own personal experience. I'm not opposed to it. I don't have any negative thoughts on it at all. I just haven't personally used it as part of my healing process and my grounding process. Okay. So if you want to begin to tap yourself, by all means do. There's plenty of videos you can get online to show you sort of the points that people most often tap. There are some on the face and there's some on the shoulders, et cetera. So, you can check those out. But I will tell you what I do. And some people, they'll take a rubber band and they'll play with it. They'll keep one on their arm, especially if they get, if they're sort of new in their trauma recovery, they might have a rubber band on their arm and physically they'll begin to pull the rubber band up and down. And that movement, along with their breathing, begins to coincide and it begins to calm their body down, again, helping them ground. Another way that I do it, and this is just me, and it may seem stupid to you, I know, but I'm going to tell you that I discovered this for myself. And if you've seen a picture of this podcast or you've seen any of my videos or anything, you've seen this old grizzly by guy, you know that he's got rather trim beard, but I have a mustache and a beard. It's all gray now. Yeah, so I'm an old man now. But what I do is I take my fingers as I'm breathing and I'm sort of wound up emotionally. And I'll take, and if you watch it on YouTube, you'll see this. So I have to describe it if you're listening. But I will take my two fingers, index and thumb, one finger and thumb. I'll say that properly. I'll put those on the top near together on top of my mustache and I'll begin to rub it down and around my chins. I will make, even though I have a beard, I will almost circle my face like a goatee. I'll go on my mustache and I'll rub around my chin and I will breathe and I'll rub around my chin. And again, it's just something I do physically that connects me to my breathing. So that just goes to show there can be a lot of different techniques. And it's kind of fun sometimes to discover what those are and what they work for you. For instance, just as a side note, this is not part of this, but I just thought about it. One of the other things I do is if you ever watch any of my videos and you see me sharing something a little more deep with you on a video, perhaps I'm talking to you on the video, you often see me begin to rub my chin. That is a natural thing I do when I am in thought, when I am trying to, you know, think about something that's pretty deep and I'm trying to communicate that to someone. I will often just, I don't know why, but I do it. I will often rub my chin. It just helps me in my thought process. So anything you can do to sort of get that body relaxed and get you grounded is going to be important. One more thing that I might suggest if you're looking at another option is if you can, I think that at a minimum, standing up is helpful. So if you are seated when you are suddenly triggered, just the change of position from sitting to standing is often very helpful. You could also take this by just merely walking across a room and back can be helpful. And certainly changing space, like going to the bathroom, for instance, at work, or walking outside if you're able to do that. Those type of things can certainly be helpful in our grounding as well. Okay, so there are many more about physical, but there's also some mental ones that I just want to quickly, and I'm just going to suggest a couple here because, again, there are many. One thing that you could do mentally to sort of slow down all those firing synapses of the emotional mind that's happening when you're triggered is to begin to do something as simple as saying the multiplication tables or counting down by, say, 5, you know, like 100, 95, 90, 85, and keep going down because it begins to take thought, anything like that that has to take some type of thought to get us thinking in that process. So like I said, multiplication tables or a countdown, anything like that can be helpful and can suddenly mentally change us and help ground us into a more calming state. One of the other things that I think, and probably if you know Keith at all, and you've been around me at all, and you know what I have introduced to the therapy world over 12 or 13 years ago was the idea of tordations. So I'm going to tell you that I believe that having a tordation available at all times, maybe it's in the note of your phone, or maybe it's in your pocket or in your purse or whatever the case may be, if it's written out, I believe that a tordation, which if you don't know, if for some reason you haven't heard me talk about them, they are my own trademark form of affirmations that I wrote. I wrote a book about it when I introduced it to the therapy world so many years ago. So anyway, I would suggest you say one of those mentally and say it a few times to begin to calm yourself because it's going to begin to permeate into your subconscious mind, I think, and begin to calm you. So if you don't have any of those and you want some, there's a link in the show notes. Go grab a free copy and start using those right away. I think they'll help you. Even when you're not in this heightened state. All right, so that was a lot, right? It's a lot of mouthful, but that's the G. So in a nutshell, the G is I'm going to ground myself. So if something happens, I get triggered, my heart starts beating, my mind starts racing, I'm going to go, okay, I got to ground, and I'm going to do some of these things to get me there. That tends to calm me both physically and mentally. Once I feel that I am calm, and usually it doesn't take long. It takes maybe, you know, a minute, two at the most to do this. All right. So I would do the grounding. And once I did the grounding, I would get to the E. And what is the E? I would evaluate my reality. See, once you get to this calmer state, your brain can begin to move, even in the mental grounding when you're doing these multiplication tables or something like that. Your brain is going to begin to move and shift your focus back to the frontal lobes, which is the cognitive rational thinking area of your brain. So you're going to begin to be able to evaluate what's going on from a more reasonable perspective. You're not going to be in this heightened, crazy emotional stance, because basically we know that if we make decisions and opinions based in our most heightened emotional state, well, I can speak from personal experience, those are most often wrong in my life. Anytime I make decisions from a highly emotional state, or I make, you know, opinions in that condition, a lot of times they're not right, because, you know, our rational thought is not there. So once you've calmed yourself down, you can begin to evaluate your reality. You can ask yourself, am I safe? Am I okay? Am I okay right now? Am I physically okay? Am I okay? Am I safe? Am I in any way in danger? Things like that. You're going to begin to evaluate your reality. And then you're going to go things like, okay, this is what happened. I'm going to name it. I'm going to understand. And you're going to be able to evaluate the trigger. And you're going to go, okay, I know what's going on here. The reality is, this has nothing to do with this particular moment in time. This has carried me back into my past, back into my trauma. And you begin to understand that. Okay. And it seems so logical, but when you're in that state, your brain doesn't automatically go there. So you have to get that in your head. All right. So you do the grounding, and then you do the evaluate reality. You're going to say, okay, what's really going on here? And then once I do that and I go, okay, all right, I know what's happening. This is triggering some trauma that I've had, and that's what's going on. I'm safe. I'm okay. I'm not being hurt right now. This is just a triggering response. And I get that in my mind, and I begin to calm myself down after my evaluation. And then I get to my T in the word get. And that is when I tap into my truths. Just grounding ourselves and just calming ourselves and just understanding that we have been triggered, I think, is good, but I don't think it's great. I think for us to get great at these quick trigger fixes, we then have to say, okay, let me quickly take this and compare it to my truths. And what do I mean by truths? I mean your values, your authentic identity, your goals in life, your long-term vision for your life. So you would say, is this response, is this reaction, is this thing that happened, is that part of my truth? Is this part of who I am and who I am going to be and what I am achieving in my life? If it isn't, then you're going to go, okay, garbage. It's not part of my truth. And I think when we do that, even if we're not really doing a whole lot with it at that point, there's at least a tag or a label we're giving to this particular trigger that we understand, okay, this was just a trigger, and it doesn't align with my truth. So you got to get, and part of the long-term work with trauma is to get clear on those truths. Okay. That's part of the process that I help people in the trauma recovery process. So anyway, I don't know. Hopefully that helps you a little bit. That's, again, this is something that I have practiced over, oh gosh, maybe close to 40 years. Quick little fix. I learned this even when I was young, even before I had any formal education or any training or any specialized education and training in the areas of trauma informed response. And, you know, it's just something I came up with for myself out of necessity, perhaps, but I didn't really have a name for it, but later on I did. I put together this official framework: get, ground, evaluate, tap into the truth. ground, evaluate, tap into your truth. Okay. So I hope this helps you. If there's a way that I can serve you, please let me know. You're always welcome to email me. Please take sure, you know, make sure you get any of my free resources. And if you are a person that is truly hurting right now, and you are getting triggered a lot, and you realize that there's a lot of unresolved shame and trauma around your sexual identity, that is nothing to be ashamed of. In my opinion, it probably affects just about everybody in the LGBTQ plus community, even if you've never been officially or, you know, diagnosed by a licensed professional, chances are you probably suffered at least some. Okay. If you haven't, then congratulations. But for most of us, we have. So if you can use some help in that, do check out my trauma-informed coaching. I think it could be of help to you, and I'm here to serve you. Okay. That's it for now. Hope you have a great rest of your week, and I will see you on the next episode here on the Bi Guy podcast. Until then, don't forget, heal your hurts, move your mountains, and may God bless you, my friend.
Well, there you go, my friend. Another episode of the Bi Guy podcast. I don't know about you, but that went way too fast for me. Thank you. Thank you for listening to this podcast. Please do make sure that you are subscribed or following. And if you can, on whatever platform you're using to listen to this podcast, please do give it an honest 5-star rating. I really do appreciate that. That helps us grow this podcast, and I need folks like you to help me do that. Also, if you can really think about becoming a Patreon member of this podcast, for only $5 a month, that money will go to help put this podcast out to the world. I really would appreciate it. And of course, you can cancel at any time. There's a link in the show notes. Until next time, don't forget, heal your hurts, move your mountains, and may God bless you.